the Richmond Theater Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theater with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 3, Scene 16. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
I'm Susie Hobbinstock from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
And you probably hadn't recognized that voice before. We want to welcome Susie to Curtain Call. Welcome, Susie.
Thanks
welcome.
Very much. Nice to be here.
We're going to talk about Lucky Me at Cat Theater through April 21st. A woman seems to have consistent bad luck, and she meets a man who might change things. Susie, since you're new, why don't you go first?
Well, Lucky Me, I had every kind of high hope for it. It looked like it might be an amusing comedy, especially, you know,
good cast.
A great cast. And it had done very well when it played in New Jersey, which was its initial production. But it was just kind of shaggy, disorganized, loping along. There was nice work by several members of the cast, but it seemed like an old-fashioned sort of 1980s comedy. I'm not sure, you know, what it really brings to the table at this point.
I think that I probably enjoyed it more than you did, definitely. I found it to be extremely amusing, full of laughs. I thought it was a great vehicle, of course, for Amy Berlin. And it seemed to me that it was just like a natural piece for her. But also, I was kind of impressed that they had, you know, a really good top-notch cast.
It's interesting you mentioned that about Amy. I think she did do a lovely job. And it's nice because, of course, we know her as a comic actor, usually in improv. And it was nice to see her take on something a little more serious, and I think she did a nice job of that. I felt like Matt Hackman, who played the other lead character, he worked hard, but he seemed like he was kind of frustrated a lot. Of course, the character was too, and I didn't really feel like there was a lot of chemistry between them.
There was that next to last scene that I did like very much that I mentioned in my review, which was about the two of them coming together in a sort of quiet way that I thought was really lovely, but then it was kind of knocked off its keel by the next scene, which was just sort of rote sitcom stuff.
And speaking of sitcom, I didn't think it was that funny. I kept thinking it was going to be a comedy, and then it got darker and more serious, and there really weren't a lot of laughs, at least not the night I was there. Julinda apparently had a better time than we did.
Well, I did. And well, also, the previous two shows I had seen had been kind of depressing, so that was a welcome
change. Well, and I think, I have to say, some of it, even though the pace was kind of sluggish, some of it was the flat writing. You know, it wasn't a very clever script. There wasn't a whole lot going on original here. I mean, they tried to make it kind of quirky, but I don't really think the play is that quirky.
Yeah, it went for quirk for sure.
And the set, by the way, was really rather nice. I thought it was well constructed and authentic looking.
Yep, Eric Kinder did the set on that. I'd just say, in general, I think the cast was doing their best to make it work. I just felt like the script, you weren't sure if it was a comedy or a drama, and that kind of held them back from being as exceptional as it could have been.
I thought Billy Christopher Maupin probably felt more comfortable in the serious moments. It certainly felt more comfortable in those moments to me.
Julinda, anything else before we move on?
I think we've about covered it.
Okay. We've been talking about Lucky Me, which is playing at Cat Theater through April 21st. Now we're going to go into a much more unlucky story, and that is the story of Romeo and Juliet, which is a Quill Theater production at VMFA's Leslie Cheek Theater through April 22nd. And this is, of course, Shakespeare's classic about young lovers torn apart by their family feud. Julinda?
Well, I have to say that I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected I would. And I think part of that has to do...
That's a theme with you this week, isn't it?
It could be. But I think part of it also had to do with a Romeo. Nate Ritzema, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I thought he was really good in that role. It was nice to see a young person playing the young person and not somebody trying to be a young person. And I thought it was also interesting to see Liz Ernest in a role... another overbearing father figure that she was trying to please.
You're referring to
After
Gonna Pray For You So Hard that she just did with Alan Sater.
It was interesting to see her in that role. But one of my favorites, however, was watching Matt Schaffner. He was hilarious.
He was great.
He was over the top, and he gave it all he got because he was dead for the second act. So
go for it while you can, right?
Yes.
Right? Yes, he played Mercutio. I thought Melissa Johnston did a nice job as the nurse. She had a lot of humor to that role, which is kind of, you don't expect it. And Bo Wilson also, I think, was a standout. He didn't do anything unusual or outrageous with the role, but he was very solid, and I think you needed that in that character. He played the Friar Lawrence.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a very, very solid and serviceable production. I don't think it knocked anything out of the park, but everybody did a good, solid job. I did think Matt Schaffner was unbelievably great, and really I think a great Mercutio not only nails all the humor, which he did, but nails the real heart, the incredible charisma of that guy, and Matt just totally did it. I thought Melissa was great. I thought Bo Wilson was great. Irene Kuykendall, I thought, did a real nice job as Juliet's mother. I wish we had had more time with the actors playing Tybalt and Benvolio. They were great. It was Matt Block. It was Axel Burton as Paris. And it was Josh Williams as Tybalt. But I thought it was a real solid production.
I thought it started out very rousingly. There was lots of running around on the stage, very vivacious first act. And then I felt like the second act, just the tragic elements just became more anguish and tears, and I didn't really ever get sucked into the drama or the tragedy that, of course, I knew was coming at that point.
I thought that this time they were making a pretty good attempt at trying to make it seem more contemporary.
Right.
Without actually changing the language. You're so familiar with the story, you know what's going to come, so
right.
That can kind of tone down that second act. But I concur that the fight scenes were really good, and there was a lot of action, a lot of activity. So, you know, you always had some place to look.
In the first act,
right. Absolutely.
Speaking of trying to not make it modern, I just wanted to mention the costumes by Cora Delbridge. They were kind of a hybrid of modern with some traditional elements. And whereas she did something like that for Lysistrata, and I thought it was beautiful, in this case, I just thought they were just kind of jumbled without any real clear point of view into what she was trying to accomplish with those looks.
Well, occasionally I found the costuming to be a little distracting because I was looking at
good
them
point,
and trying to
right.
figure out, okay, what are we going for here?
Right. And I want to mention that I think the set was particularly embarrassing. Reed West designed that. There was one big couple of swags of fabric, and then this one set piece that had the inevitable balcony, of course, that had a little of an Italianate style, but it looked like it was poorly painted. It looked almost like a high school production. I was really underwhelmed with that set.
I don't think I even mentioned the set in my review because it was underwhelming.
Yeah, another element that I thought was just, you know, it was just there. We should probably just acknowledge that this originally was to be directed by Dr. Jan Powell, and she had to be out of town for an extended period, and so James Rick stepped in and tried to execute, I think, her view, which has got to be a difficult thing to do. So there may be something between having one director running another director's view for the play that may have messed things up a little bit.
So overall, are we thinking this was competently mounted, but really was never as exciting or tragic as Romeo and Juliet has the potential to be?
I think that's true. And I also feel like the Leslie Cheek Theater, while a wonderful facility, and it's a treat to be in that museum to see a show, they don't even use the back half of it. And you're in that big, big auditorium, and things get a little lost.
But I do think it's more than just competent.
We've been talking about Romeo and Juliet, which is a Quill Theater production at VMFA's Leslie Cheek Theater through April 22nd. And that's going to do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for airing us on WRAR, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more reviews. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
I'm Susie Hobbinstock from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
And we'll be hearing more from you too, won't we, Susie?
Sure.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.